Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
And content to where you are, your status, your station in life. It calls for a movement of Yah's people. And that's why we're here to study Yah, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and certainly should be yours and his people, their character, the history, and so on and so forth. Our history just didn't start the moment we hit these shores buck naked, filthy, and in chains. They started a long, long time ago. And by the looks of it, I pray that it ends sometime soon. So, but if it doesn't, in order to move toward the Most High, Cartrell made a valid point yesterday. My brother from New York City, who helped host this show, Cartrell of New York City, and surely Young Sue. Cartrell's point stuck with me, and it should stick with you. He was talking about Job. And sometimes we get the impression Job was a righteous man been tested. And he certainly was. Even though he was righteous. And certainly he was tested by his wife. He was tested by his friends or so-called friends. He was tested. But what did Job do? Did he fall because of his wife's belittlement? Or because of his friends' belittlement? No, he clung to the Most High. That's the lesson Cartrell pointed out to me, and it should be pointed out to you today. And that's one primary reason why we studied God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Don't put your reliance and trust in people. Put your reliance and trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, and people that trust in him. It's just that simple. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Let me bring my brother and friend on from New York City. Brother Cartrell. I hope the family is doing well. I hope your friends are doing well. And certainly I hope you are doing well. And as soon as I get this computer to open back the site, I'm going to bring you right on without further ado. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you, brother. Shalom.
Bless Yah, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brother Yam Su Fari, Sister Avia, Sister Nisanya, all the family that's out there. Shalom. May the Most High bless y'all. How y'all doing?
Well, we're doing well. And may the Most High bless you, brother.
All praise. Yeah, man. The lesson of life came to Yah. Because we all being tested. And the more we know about Yah, the easier it is to pass the test.
It's certainly correct, Brother Cartrell. The more we know about Yah, it's much easier to pass the test. Praise Yah. Cartrell and his Cartrell and his study tonight. He will bring you the study in Yeshayahu, chapter 36. And it is called Sennacherib boasts against the Elohim. That goes for anybody, truth be told, who boasts against Yah. The outcome is not quite pleasant. And I will be saying, that's a Yeshayahu. Some may call it Isaiah. That's not his correct name. It's Yeshayahu, chapter 36. I will be in the second chapter, Simuel, at chapter 5. And it shows you some history of our king and the production of his children, the conquest of Jerusalem, and the defeat of the Philistines by King David. So if Cartier is ready to proceed, young Sufar Reef is ready to proceed, and I hope the students are ready. Are you ready, Brother Cartier?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, brother. Chapter 5. Then all the tribes of Israel came to King David at Hebron and spoke, saying, indeed, we are you. We're part of each other. That's how it has to be, people. We have to be that way with each other. And they said this. Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. They simply acknowledged that. Also, in time past, when King Saul was king of us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And Yah said to you, you shall shepherd my people. Whose people? Yah's people. Israel. And be ruler over Israel from a human perspective. But he knew he stayed in his lane, though. What I mean by that, he didn't make no major decision. I really shouldn't have made any decision without the consultation of the Most High. That's what made him a good king. One of the best kings the world had ever seen, truth be told. Oh, no, I'm not talking about King Arthur of England. No, I'm not talking about the King of Jordan. No, I'm not talking about the King of the Persians and the Medes. No, I'm talking about the greatest king of all times. And why was he great? Not because he was the best looking brother. Not because he was the tallest brother. Not because he had a few wives and a few children, brother. He put his total reliance and trust in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. As should you. And you should emulate this brother's character. You would say, oh, y'all see, that man, he cheated. He took that man away and put that man in the forefront. You don't know to get killed. I forget his name because you ain't really doing no study. You know, but here's what you all look at. Not his mistakes, but do his good outweigh his mistakes? And did he learn his lesson? Yes, I would say his good outweighed his mistakes and he learned his lesson. Now, if you looking for some excuse to get away from Yah and to vindicate your own action, you can find an excuse on anyone. But if you simply want to see the truth of the matter, you would say, no, he wasn't no king, whatever that fella named, the king of Greeks. What they call his name? The warrior king. No, he was the best king. And you know why he was best? He loved the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and he loved his brothers and sisters as himself. And he didn't do nothing without consultation, mostly for the most part, with the Most High and with his people in mind. He went on ego run amok, great king. And they said about our king, when King Saul was over us, you were the one, they acknowledged it, who led Israel out and brought them in. And Yah said to you, they knew this, you should shepherd who people? His people? No, my people, Israel. And be ruler over Israel with the consultation of Yah. Therefore, all the elders of Israel from all tribes came to the king at Hebron. And King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before Yah. And they anointed King David over Israel. Seemed like just about the third or fourth of them. King David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Hebron, 40 years in totality. In Hebron, he reigned over Yehuda, the single tribe, 7 years. It takes time for things to come to fruition. Everybody wants things to happen overnight. It doesn't work like that, people. It's a time and place for everything under the sun. But during that time period, 7 years and 6 months, just a single tribe. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all the nations. And Yehuda, it took time, people. Be patient. The conquest of Jerusalem. Jerusalem won ours. No, we didn't. Jerusalem won ours. How did we come about obtaining Jerusalem? Here's how we came about it. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem. And who lived there? Against the Jebusites. Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to King Dan saying, they belittled him. You should not come in here. But the blind and the lame, we ain't worried about you. Because the blind and the lame here will repair you here. But the blind and the lame will repair you. Thinking, here's how they're thinking. King Dawid cannot come in here. Nevertheless, King Dawid took the stronghold of Zion. That is the city, you didn't know it's the city of King Dawid, Zion, which is the city of King Dawid. Now, King Dawid said on that day, whoever climbs up by way of the water shaft and defeats the Jezebites, the lame and blind who are hated by King Dawid's soul, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore, they said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. Then King Dawid dwelt in the stronghold and called it the city of King Dawid. And King Dawid built all around from Milo and inward. So King Dawid went on and became great. In my mind, he was already great. And as a result, and Yah Elohim of hosts was with him because he relied on Yah. He trusted in Yah. He didn't trust in any Tom, Dick, and Harriet. He trusted in the Most High. That's what we suggest, infer, and apply to you. Put your total trust in. Because men and women can let you down, but Yah would never let you down. And when you seek consultation as King Dawid did, don't seek from every Tom, Dick, and our Harriet. Seek it only from the LM. And perhaps your life may be great on a smaller scale. Emulate the king. Then Haran, king of Tyre, sent messages to King Dawid. And he sent cedar trees and carpenters and masons. They built King Dawid a house. So King Dawid knew that Yah had established him as king. Not the people. Not his love for the people simply. And not his people's love for him simply. Why? The primary reason. He knew that Yah had established him. That's what you all know in your own personal lives. Over Israel. And that he had exalted his king. Yah did. For the sake, why? Not for your own selfish reason. For whatever you ask Yah. But for the sake of his people, Israel, to be a shining light, a shining example, because of his total reliance and trust in the Elohim. And King Dawid took more concubines and wives from Jerusalem. I told you King Solomon was not married at that point in time. But when he got to Jerusalem and took ownership, after he come from Hebron, also he had more sons and daughters were born to King Dawid. Now, these are the names of those who were born to him in Jerusalem. You know, he already spoke about the one born in Hebron. Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, our king to be Solomon, Ikar, Elishua, Nikig, Yafia, Elisama, Elida, and Eliphet. And as a result, King Dawid does his job. He starts off doing his job. He didn't wait on it. He started off doing his job, which is to defeat all nation that comes against our people. And he does it with the Philistines first. Now, when the Philistines heard that they had anointed King Dawid over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for King Dawid. And King Dawid heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed. themselves in the valley of the Rephaim, valley of Jazz. Ho, ho, ho. So King David inquired, what did he do? I love his brother. He didn't seek his mama, brother, sister, all that. What did the King David do, which will work more so in your own personal life? He sought God. And he said, so King David inquired of Yah, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hands? And Yah said to King David, go up, for I would doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. So King David went to Baal Perazim, and King David defeated them there. And he said, he gave respect to Yah. He didn't take ownership. What did he say? And that's what we all need to do when it comes to Yah. Yah has broken through my enemies before me, like a breakthrough of water. Therefore, he called the name of that place by Parazim. And they left their images there, these Philistines. And King David and his men carried them away, their idols. When the Philistines were up once again and reported themselves in the valley of the Rephaim, the valley of the giants, ho, ho, ho. They didn't say that, but it's the valley of the giants. Therefore, King David inquired, what did he do, this brother? We need to take this in our own personal lives. He didn't take it upon himself. He didn't lean to his own understanding because he knew his leaning was limited. Yes, he was wise. Yes, he was understanding. But he knew there was limitations on wisdom and understanding. He needed a spiritual connection with Yah, and he got it. He didn't rely on just his wisdom and understanding. That's why I love this king. And the Philistines went up once again and employed themselves in the valley of the Rephaim, the giants. Therefore, King David inquired of Yah, his initial action, as always. Yes, he made some mistakes, but I love this brother. And he said, you shall not go up and circle, or you shall not go up and circle around behind him. And this is what Yah, here's the Yah instruction Yah gives our king. He says, come upon them in the front of the mulberry trees. Because here's a spiritual connection with this. And it should be when you hear the spiritual connection, when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry tree, I'm connected with you. See, that's what a lot of mistakes we get as people. When we lean to our own understanding, we want to do what we want to do, how we want to do it, and when we want to do it. And we think we're going to make it like that. That's a foolhardy pursuit. No, our king didn't do it like that. Yes, he made mistakes, but he took ownership of his mistakes. Not only did he take ownership of his mistakes, he rectified those mistakes. And he didn't do them again. If you're going to mention Bathsheba. Okay? So don't be knocking King David. Because if you ain't doing nothing close, you can't lace this brother's laces on his shoe. The man always took ownership of his actions. He said, well, the reason why you do it, just like Adam and Eve did. The reason why I did it, because she was fine. And she shouldn't have been on that roof, buck naked, taking a shower. You know, come on now. And then he should have went on the war. As a matter of fact, he should have got up with his wife, just sit tight, and took care of his business. I would have been covered. He would have been covered. Wouldn't nobody really know nothing about it. But when the prophet came to him and put it to him, and he couldn't do nothing. Oh, Lord. Almost high. And he fasted. Even during that fasting period, he knew he had to pay some dues. He paid some dues by reference of his son passing away, his first son, Bathsheba. But obviously, he made her a concubine and her wife. And he had one of our famous kings by him, the wisest man in the world, King Solomon. So the Most High is letting y'all know, don't be knocking that brother. This ain't about him anyway. But he's doing the right thing. He's rectifying. He's taking ownership. We got too much time on our hands, always trying to see the fault in one another instead and not saying the good in one another. See, we try to be like this Western Hemisphere. Oh, the king, I could have told you about him. Because we understand the dynamics of the relationship. Cadre mentions it quite well. When he said we are human, we are spiritual, and we are physical. I think Cadre said we're human, mental, and spiritual. And he had them all aligned with the Most High. If you ain't got the humanity and the mentality and the spirituality, connected with the Most High, you're going to be a hot mess because you're going to be leaning to your own understanding. And the outcome is going to be a foregone conclusion. So don't knock the king. Matter of fact, we don't even talk about our king in a negative fashion because we understand the concept of things. We're all human. We all make mistakes. But does the good outweigh the bad? It's simply that simple. And let's speak more on our king, this lovely man of integrity and morality. Then the Philistines went up once again and poured themselves in the body of the Raphaim, the body of the giants. Therefore, King David inquired of Yah. I love that. And he said, he gave him the battle instruction. And he tells him, you shall not go up around, circle around behind, don't come from back, in the back of them. Come upon them in the front of the mulberry tree, specific information, like he gives us in life. And it should be, when you hear that spiritual connection, the sound of the marching in the top of the mulberry trees, then you should advance quickly. For then Yah will go out before you to strike. You got to be spiritually connected to the camp of the Philistines. And King David did. What did he do? As Yom Suk told him, as Joab told him, as the people in the camp told him, as his wife told him, what did King David do? And King David did so as Yah commanded him. That's how you are successful. And he drove back the Philistines from the Geba as far as Gezer. Praise Yah, because he was spiritually connected. He followed Yah. And that's why I like this story. Cottrell spoke about Job. Whatever you do in life, don't follow no Tom, Dick, and Harry or Harriet. You best be following Yah in all your endeavors. And don't be pointing fingers at King David. King David was a man of grace, a man of compassion, a man of integrity, and a man that loved his people with all his heart and mind. Yes, he made his mistake. So what? Look in your own backyard and work on your own self. Praise Yah and bless his heart. I love this brother. I love the king. I respect the king. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you, my brother and friend. You have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One, Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For such an excellent lesson, Yom Sufari. So many jewels up in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm glad I got you on that page of loving our king, King David, because we all need to love our great king.
Exactly.
How many of us will be open, like his life is open, to telling our life story in full detail?
Exactly.
Every detail of our life story exposed to the public for thousands of years. Would you want that? And how perfect are you?
Exactly.
So the fact that his life is an open book and he taught us how to deal with his trials and tribulations and his adversity, he never asked for anything. He never asked to be king. He never asked to be anointed by the tribe of Judah. He never asked the other tribes or told the other tribes that he's king. Now he's taking over, you know, for King Saul and King Ishbosheth. He never did any of that. He bided his time and waited for direction and consultation from the Most High. Anytime the Most High told him to move, that's when he moved.
Exactly. And
you notice that anytime he asks for something, he's always asking the Most High. He ain't asking nobody for anything else. His inquiries, anytime he asks for something, he's asking for instructions from the Most High.
Exactly.
That's how we should be.
Exactly.
That's how we should be.
Exactly.
Because, like you said, when he followed Yah's commands, it gave him great success. If we were but follow Yah's command, how much success would we have? We don't know because we don't follow Yah's command. We try to do it on our own. We try to figure it out, leaning on our own understanding. Imagine if King David was leaning on his own understanding against these Raphaim, these giants. I think he would have lost.
I know he would have lost.
Yeah, man.
Foregone conclusion.
So it's mental, spiritual, and physical components of our being. And most of us only tap into the mental. Some of us don't even tap into the mental. Some just tap into the physical. Some don't tap into the physical. They just tap into the mental. But most people do not tap into the spiritual.
Exactly.
Spiritual. There's no schools.
But Brother Cartwright, that's basically an outcome, as they say, according to Alcoholics Anonymous, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. That's the definition of insanity.
Well, you have people responsible for misguiding people spiritually, don't you?
Exactly.
They don't allow people to tap into their true spirituality because they contaminate it with idols.
Right.
They call the idols religions. You're not
exactly
getting to the Most High God through religion. King David didn't get to the Most High God through religion.
Exactly.
He got to the Most High by praying and asking for certain things. And he heard Yah's voice in response. Can we hear Yah's voice in response when we say our prayers? I know I do.
Yes.
Like I tell you, I couldn't have did construction because I was petrified of heights. How are you going to be a carpenter in Manhattan with these towering buildings that you have to build and you're scared of heights? That just won't work out. So I was on the 44th story of building number 7, which, by the way, fell on 9/11, September.
Right.
When they attacked, that building fell. But that's where I got rid of my fear of heights because I heard Yah's voice.
Right.
He put me on the outside edge of the 44th story to do some stripping. And I'm like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, how am I gonna do this? Yah said, I got you. I heard his voice say, I got you. You're not going to die like this by falling off a building.
Exactly.
And from that day on, also, my fear of heights was done.
Right.
44 years of working in them tall skyscrapers in Manhattan. No fear of heights anymore.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Only by Yah, I have to give him credit.
Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Well, I've never gotten out of any situation I know of per se that it wasn't by Yah. Believe it.
Yep. And he got his guardian angels looking out for us if we connected with him spiritually. But we have to break through the indoctrination of men that separates us from the Most High and learn that we can connect directly with him just like King David did.
Exactly.
Our hearts are sincere.
Yah
says, seek me where I can be found. And that's for every human being on earth. You can find Yah. You ain't got to be a king. You ain't got to be a prophet. Yah created you. He said, I knew you before I placed you in your mother's womb. And that's our connection to him. Because he knew us before we was even born. Which means he knows our purpose more than any entity on earth. Yah knows why he created us.
Exactly.
So find out what your purpose is.
Praise Yah.
I got a question for you, though.
Yes, my brother.
Hey, what did King David say? I want you to read it.
Okay. Bear with me one second.
Excuse me.
Verse 8. 6. Okay, 7. Okay. His error. Then the anger of Yah was aroused against Josiah, and Yah struck him there for his error.
What book are you reading?
Okay. Hold on. I got to go back. I'm before. Hold on. I hear it. I'm before. My apologies.
Those who attacked.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was way ahead. I was one chapter ahead. Okay.
Chapter
Thank
5,
you.
Verse 2.
Okay. Yeah, the blind and the lame. Now, King Dawud, thank you, Sonia. Now, King Dawud said on that day, whoever climbs up by way of the water shaft and defeats the Jezebites, the lame and the blind, who are hated by King Dawud's soul, he shall be chief, in spite of that, so to speak, he shall be chief and captain. Therefore, they said, as a result of the king, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house.
Okay. So who do you think met that challenge?
The blind and the lame.
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
The people. He said whoever goes up the wall through the water course.
Right.
Will become what?
Blind and lame,
no.
So to speak.
No. He said the man who does this would become chief.
Right. Chief and captain. Right. Chief and captain.
Who you think that is? Who you think did it? There you go. Gold star.
Yeah.
He's the guy that defeated these just Jebusites.
Right.
By going up through the water course, water shaft.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. Mm-hmm. Joab.
Exactly.
Joab was a bad man because they thought that place was impregnable, undefeatable. But King David's nephew, Joab, he's the guy that went and did it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And he became captain of the army as a result.
Yes. So they don't give you the full details right here. They just give you a summary of what happened.
Right. Joab.
Joab.
In spite of that curse on him.
This is before the curse on him.
Oh, okay. All right.
Before the curse.
All right. All right. If God drills through with his commentary and studies, we're through. And we're ready to proceed. Thank you, Brother Kadra. And we're ready to proceed to the last segment of study, which is chapter 36, Yeshayahu, real name for Isaiah, not real name. Chapter 36. Kadra, we're all ears.
All praises to the Holy One of Israel, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, for our prophet Yeshayahu. Yah is salvation. Dealing with Sennacherib, and this is a famous king of the Assyrians, and they have relics of his conquest of the tribe of Yehuda.
Right.
And they showed a true depiction of how our ancient fathers, the tribe of Judah, look. Woolly hair,
right.
Woolly beards. You just got to check these things out for yourself. In the 36th chapter of the book of Yeshayahu, it goes on to say, in the 14th year of King Hezekiah, one of the sons of King David, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the fortified cities of Yehuda and took them. And the king of Assyria sent Rabshake from Lachish. And we're talking about archaeological finds in the British museums of this battle of Lachish. You could Google it, you could Bing it, you could image it, and you'll see those images of the defeat of the ancient Israelite tribe of Yehuda.
Mm-hmm.
From Lachish to King Hezekiah at Jerusalem. We just read about Jerusalem and how he acquired it, right?
Exactly.
With a great army. And here it is. You see that King Sennacherib, it took it just as easy as Joab, unfortunately. And he stood by the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And there came out to him Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and sheep. Nah, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder. Now, you might be familiar with Asaph because he got some psalms that we read. It may
right.
not be the same Asaph, but I don't know. That's a rare
right.
name, Asaph. I don't know if you
mm-hmm.
remember the Asaph's fables. It might have been him.
Exactly.
And the Rabshake said to them, say to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, on what do you rest this trust of yours? Do you think that mere words are strategy and power for war? In whom do you trust now that you have rebelled against me? Behold, you are trusting in Mizraim, that broken reed of a staff which will pierce the hand of any man who leans on it, such as Pharaoh, king of Mizraim, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in Yah our Elohim. Is it not he whose high places and altars King Hezekiah has removed, saying to Yehuda and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar? Come now, make a wager with my master, the king of Assyria, and I'll give you 2,000 horses if you are able to part on your part to set riders on them. 2,000 horses I'm going to give you. You can put riders on them. How then can you repulse a single captain among the least of my master's servants when you trust the Mizraim for chariots and for horsemen? Moreover, is it without Yah that I have come up against this land to destroy it? Yah said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim and Shibna and Joah said to Rabshakeh, please speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Do not speak to us in the language of Yehuda within the hearing of the people who are on the wall. But the Rabshakeh said, has my master sent me to speak these words to your master and to you, and not the men sitting on the wall who are doomed with you to eat their own dung and drink their own urine? Rob shaking, yo. He got some words, boy. Then the Rob Shake stood and called out in a loud voice in the language of Yehuda, Hebrew. Hear the words of the king of Assyria. Thus says the king, do not let King Hezekiah deceive you, for he will not be able to deliver you. Do not let King Hezekiah make you trust in Yah by saying, Yah will surely deliver us. The city will not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to King Hezekiah, for thus says the king of Assyria, make your peace with me and come out to me. Then each one of you will eat of his own vine, and each one of you his own fig tree, and each one of you will drink the water of his own cisterns, until I come and take you away to a land like your own, a land of grain and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. Beware lest Hezekiah, king of Israel, mislead you by saying, Yah will deliver us. Has any of the gods of the nations delivered his land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? This guy's boasting big time. He said none of the gods of other nations have saved them from what King Sennacherib is doing. Not even you, Israel. Don't trust in your God. Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who among all the gods of these lands have delivered their lands out of my hand, that Yah should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Oh, now you're challenging the Most High. You ain't just challenging King Hezekiah. You done stepped and crossed the line, son. But they were silent, these servants of King Hezekiah, and answered him not a word. Got to be disciplined. You can't react on your emotions. For the king's command was, King Hezekiah told him, don't answer him. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, who was over the household, and Shebna, the secretary, and Joah, the son of Asaph, the recorder, came to King Hezekiah with their clothes torn, and told him the words of the Rabshakeh. Okay. It shows discipline. It shows how other nations will threaten our nation. And in this instance, you see that these men obeyed the command of their king not to answer this Rabshakeh, who was throwing all kind of threats and all kind of taunts, just like Goliath in the time of King David. It's the same scenario. So he, Rabshakeh, and should King Sennacherib think that they can conquer all the gods on planet Earth, even the God of Israel. But he's going to find out otherwise as we go further in the story. So we see that here, the prophet Isaiah takes a pause from the vision that he was having based on the judgment that Yah is about to bring futuristically. And he's talking concurrently about his time and what's going on during the days of King Hezekiah while he was there on the scene. Because King Hezekiah is going to have to come to the prophet Isaiah to get some counsel. He's not quite like King David, who had direct communication with Yah. I don't know why he didn't learn how to do that, but he relied on
the prophets. And it's a good thing, because if you can't, you know, invoke Yah's voice to direct you, then you need to talk to the men of God, which King Hezekiah did, fortunately for him. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael.
All praise. That's pretty well self-explanatory. And Kadra is right, quite correct. And looking at those reliefs in those British Museum and what those brothers, ancient Hebrews, look like, they look like people of color. They look like us. Praise y'all. We suggest that you take a go on Google. Google them up. Now, Cartrell and I, we've done our job. It's up to you to play your part. Study, meditate, then make the right application. We love you. And may the Most High bless you with wisdom and understanding and the spiritual connection that you need. Brother Cartrell, what's your closing remarks and comments?
Just giving thanks to the Most High for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he left on record, so we could recover, we could heal, we could get back to our roots, we could reconnect with him spiritually like we should. And may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to our Creator, our Rock, our Redeemer. May bring us peace, like he has peace in his high places to all Israel as we go through our trials and tribulations. And may we all rely and depend, seek Yah's help, just like our great King, King Dawid. Praise Yah. We love Yah.
Praise
the Most High bless you.
Praise y'all. We love y'all. And may the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.